This episode of The Fix has been made possible with support from the Wealthy Her Network, established to champion the diversity of women's wealth with the end goal of better servicing female investors and returning a greater impact for the benefit of everyone.
The course of action would be to ask your museums and galleries if they can please show you work by female artists, for example. So if you go on a walk in the museum or gallery, ask them, can you please see the works only by women artists? And then it forces them to look for those works. Another idea is certainly if you have curator friends, to ask them how many female artists of color have they shown over the last year. I think asking the question makes people aware.
I'm your host, Michelle King, and you're listening to The Fix, a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. Today, women continue to be undervalued and underrepresented in the art world. It's estimated that 51% of visual artists in the United States are women. However, a recent survey of 18 prominent art museums in the United States found that out of 10,000 artists featured, 87% are male and overwhelmingly 85% are white. Moreover, women on average earn 81 cents for every dollar made by male artists. On our podcast today, we're joined by Liesl Strauss, co-founder and creative director of Subject Matter, an online art gallery that empowers artists and works to address inequalities in the art world. They do this by campaigning for fair pay for artists, curating all-women art shows, mentoring female artists, and so much more. In this episode, Liesl will share the story behind an initiative she recently started called Art Girl Rising. She'll also talk about the barriers that women face in the industry and what all of us can do to support women artists.
So I started my art business, Subject Matter, 8 years ago, and we represent emerging artists. We specialize in fine art photography. And it's funny, mostly we've always had women, men and women, as part of our roster of artists. And for some reason, I just wasn't aware of these problems that was occurring. And then we started building the business. We had a gallery, and eventually the gallery was in Tokyo. And then we moved to London, had a gallery there for a while. And now we an online-only gallery.
Women artists often encounter gender inequality when it comes to accessing training or showcasing and trading their work, as well as gaining recognition. For example, in Europe and North America, only 14% of living artists represented by galleries are women. Here, Liesl unpacks some of the key challenges women face in the art world.
When I started looking at the numbers and everything, I thought immediately it must be primarily because in art schools, we don't have the business of art as a course, for example. So students go to art school, and you will be really shocked to know that most art schools don't offer students the opportunity to learn how to run a sustainable art business. So then what happens is the only way you can get into museums and galleries are through contacts. Museums and galleries are typically run by white male privileged folk. So what happens is those curators and museum directors would then typically pick white male artists. But in speaking to more and more art institutions and galleries, I've actually found that a lot of it has to do with sexual harassment too. Which is really shocking for me, but it's turned out that a lot of artists would come and present their work and then they would be objectified and it would be like a favor for a favor. And it wouldn't be as blatant as we would say sexual harassment, but it would be very much like I would show you work as a favor, not because you're a great artist. So I think that is a big problem. And then all the other barriers that we face is in the art world, people just expect you to work for free. It's a huge problem. Even when you become more famous, you're still expected to work for free. And I think women tend to take that on much further on in their careers. They would work for free for much longer, where men are often the breadwinner, so often they have to say no at an earlier point. We're still very much unpacking it and looking at what the reasons are, but I would say it's a lack of business knowledge and nepotism, and then also the fear. When you work with a primarily male-dominated industry, it's very scary to go in there. And then I've just heard from a huge number of cases where women felt threatened.
While gender bias is prevalent, Liesl says the inequality she's experienced in her career also cuts across other areas, such as class, wealth, and race.
It has been more about the elitism, and there's a huge divide in opinions in the art world. Like, artists really stick together. It's really interesting. Like, whether you're an artist that paints dogs or an artist that paints landscapes for the president, artists just loves each other. It's the most beautiful thing to see, and it's really new for me because I've always been on the dealer side. But now that I'm more on the artist side, it's unbelievable. They support each other. It's the most beautiful thing, especially the women. Well, I say women because that's the space that I'm in currently. But on the dealer side, there's a huge divide and snobbery around the kind of art you sell, whether you're at art fairs, whether you're online. Now it's better, but I attended an art fair once at the opening dinner, and the group of people asked me, where's your gallery? And I said, oh no, I don't have a gallery anymore. I'm online. And they all stopped talking to me immediately. And then as the wine started to flow, they one by one very curiously asked my overheads and how we're doing. And they were so shocked to know that we don't have many overheads and that we're actually a profitable business. And then they just became more friendly and wanted to know more information. And two of them told me that they were going to this big art fair again in London. And I said, oh, that's amazing. You've been going for 3 years. How's it going? And they're like, it bankrupts us. It absolutely bankrupts us, but we can't afford not to go. So we go because we need to be seen. So I think that's a really big problem in the art world. And like I say, that's not gender specific. It's very much about who needs to be seen. And we need to change that because we want more artists to make a living from their craft. And artists can only make a living from their craft if they get paid and if more people buy art.
While gender inequality in the art world is a global issue, the challenges differ by location. For example, 30% of artists represented by commercial galleries in the United States are women. In Australia, it's about 40%, in China, 25%, and in Germany, less than 20%. One of the key reasons for this is the barriers women artists face are often multifaceted and intersecting. Here, Liesl talks about the inequality she's seen and what museums and galleries need to do to tackle this.
I think it's more than just gender, it's race, and it's, if we say it's white male artists, it's white male able-bodied artists. So we have to look at all of that. So I would definitely look at, if you're in a specific region, the ideal situation would be that you look at the population split of that region and represent those artists. So if you are 70% white, 20% Hispanic, 10% Chinese, your collection should represent that. If you are 40% female, 60% male, it should represent that. The same right through. And those figures are surprisingly easy to gather. We have census outcomes. So I think that would be a really good starting point. And people speak about tokenism and all of that. To be honest, we have to start somewhere. And there are enough great artists amongst race and all abilities that we could have in museums a collection that represents a nation, not a small percentage. So I would say look at the numbers and get your numbers sorted out.
One of the major impediments to advancing equality in the art world is a lack of awareness. People simply don't know what the challenges are that women artists face, or how extensive these issues are, or what can be done to fix it. This makes it easy to assume that women either have the same opportunities as men, or that we're on track to achieving parity in the arts. Liesl started an initiative through Art Girl Rising to tackle this issue head on.
So last year on International Women's Day, I saw the figures on social media on how many women artists are in museums and galleries. And it was a figure that was put out by the National Museum of Women in the Arts. And they had a hashtag five women artists. And they basically asked people, can you name five women artists? And I thought about it and I'm like, I'm struggling. And this is really embarrassing because I'm in the art world. And then I just started thinking, would anybody else be able to do it? And I read the articles and it showed that such a low percentage of art in museums and galleries are by women. This rage just built up in me and I couldn't believe that I'm in this space and I didn't know the numbers. So that evening I was on a treadmill. I'm never on a treadmill, by the way. And I was watching Queer Eye and Anthony was wearing a t-shirt with four guy names on. And I saw it and it was just hours after I saw the hashtag five women artists. And I thought, let's put five women artists on a t-shirt. That evening I did it quickly on Illustrator and I sent it to all my connections in the art world and I had great feedback. I also created a simple website. And then next morning I woke up with my phone just going bleep, bleep, bleep. And it was just orders because the Jealous Curator, one of the top contemporary art bloggers, she posted it on her Instagram, and I had over 150 orders.
A portion of Art Girl Rising's proceeds go to the National Museum of Women in the Arts. Each of you can support this by purchasing one of their t-shirts to raise awareness of all the incredible women artists out there and the inequality that they face.
We've been really, really lucky that somehow Anthony got the t-shirt, so it's full circle. A friend of mine sent this picture of him tweeting about it, and he was holding a newspaper with our t-shirt on, and I didn't send it to him. And then I sent a t-shirt to Jerry Saltz, the Pulitzer Prize winner art critic, and he posted about it, which was really a game changer for us because it was in the perfect time, perfect space. So we had so many orders after that. And we've just had really an interesting group of people wear the t-shirts. We've posted more than 1,000 t-shirts to more than, I think, 28 or so countries. And I want people to ask, who are those women? And then you have the opportunity to say, did you know women are not represented in museums and galleries? Because it's a myth that artists are typically introverted. There's really a big mix. But also for people who don't have the confidence to talk about it, it's a very good opener. And now we're really just in the next phase of really looking at how we can improve the numbers. Like really looking at, a recent study showed that 86% of museums, of the art in museums and galleries in the major institutions in the US are white male artists. That is dreadful. I mean, how can this be happening if the roles of museums are to collect and show objects of a culture and represent a culture? Are we saying that our culture is 87% white male? Like, it cannot happen. And that's not even speaking about art fairs. Like right now, we are recording a history in the art books that is just not representative of our world.
Women have never been treated equally in the art world, and today they remain dramatically underrepresented and undervalued in museums, galleries, and auction houses. But there are different actions all of us can take to support women and underrepresented artists. Here Liesl shares a few of them.
So if you go on a walk in the museum or gallery, ask them, can you please see the works only by women artists? And then it forces them to look for those works. I've tried it. It's a little scary because for some reason people become very defensive. So I let them know, I'm not here to catch you out. I'm doing research. That's one way. Another way is to speak, to write to your museums and galleries and to say to them, you would like to see a fair, more fair representation of your region. Another idea is to reach out to your institutions through social media and ask them, what are their numbers? Another idea is certainly if you have curator friends, to ask them how many female artists, artists of color, have they shown over the last year. I think asking the question makes people aware. I think right now people are definitely becoming more aware than, say, a year ago, but still we have to raise it. I think if we attend museums and galleries, say 10,000 people a day attend museums and galleries, say, in New York, and no one says anything, those museums and galleries don't feel under pressure to change things. But if we raise it, and their numbers come down, their attendance numbers come down, they have to look at the numbers. We have to force them into it. And then, of course, wear the T-shirt. Please, you can check out our Art Girl Rising T-shirt and wear the T-shirt and wear it with pride. I wore it recently, and it was the first time that I wore it out in a big city, and people really do stare at your chest. And then you can tell them what it's about. And if you consider buying an art piece, don't go to your comfort zone. Consider other artists. Consider looking at different races or gender and support those artists. It's very, very easy just to look to go back to your comfort zone. But challenge yourself. You know, you might just be really surprised.
Making it in the art world is challenging for everyone, but it's especially difficult for women who have to overcome ingrained stereotypes and biases. Their work is just not as easily received or valued by the male-dominated market. For this reason, Liesl says it's so important for women artists to find resources and initiatives that can support them with showcasing their work.
It could be great and it could be really tough, because we feel we always have to show up and look at pretty pictures, etc. But you don't have to. You don't have to post anything. You could just look at social media or the online landscape. There are amazing incentives out there, very supportive groups. For example, one group is called Thrive. They are a mastermind group based out of Canada. You can become a member of their artist mastermind groups. So then you come together once a month online from all over the world and you set goals together and you work through those goals. You hold each other accountable. So you really have your little community of artists. There are many Facebook groups online that you could search again for artists supporting one another. They are wonderful. If you follow the Jealous Curator, for example, online, she's always speaking about wonderful other artists. Reach out to them. Say the work is beautiful. They'll do the same with you. We are working on sort of a yellow pages for art businesses with Art Girl Rising and Thrive. So soon it will be online where you could access this list of organizations or support groups. And yeah, I would just say reach out to people. I think just reach out. We're all human beings. Reach out to each other and share your struggles. I think we need to change the online landscape, that it's not so pretty. We need to speak about the struggles and the bullshit and the toughness. We all have hurdles to overcome.
Finally, Liesl shares her advice for aspiring artists.
You absolutely have to get out of the mindset of the struggling artist. It's a narrative that just doesn't suit or serve anybody. For years and years, it has been this romantic idea of you're the struggling artist, but it's only romantic to the dealers and maybe to buyers. The reality is artists also have children they have to put through school. And if you are an artist, don't fall into this trap. You don't have to be a struggling artist. There are how many billion people on earth? And out of those, how many million have a disposable income? Your art does not have to sell for thousands of dollars, not at all. Try and keep an open mind about that you are not selling out if you are financially successful. If you are financially successful, it means you can support other artists. And that's what I really see amongst the women artists. They support other artists. They buy art from other artists. It's such a beautiful full circle. So my advice would be read up, go online, teach yourself the basics about finances, how to run a business. We are doing a course with the Royal College of Art, teaching the students the business of art. And I was so surprised that schools don't offer this. Reach out. If you're a student or you've gone back to school to train as an artist, challenge your school, ask them that they should include the business of art courses in your school. It's absolutely crucial. And then keep doing, keep showing up, just get up, do the work, even if it's hard, speak to other people, reach out to other people, and don't work for free anymore.
I love speaking with Liesl because her work really highlights something that's so easy to forget. Gender inequality is everywhere. It's in art, science, sports, school, corporations, you name it. This creates challenges for all of us because gender inequality is really about conforming to gender roles, and this creates a very narrow way for men and women to show up at work and home. Inequality might be everywhere, but that means all of us stand to benefit from dismantling it. In today's Wealthy Her Weekly Fix, we're joined by Katie Waite, an investment manager for 1762 from Brewin Dolphin and a member of the Wealthy Her Network. Today, Katie will share how to reduce your financial risk when investing.
Hello, everyone. I'm Katie Waite, an investment manager for 1762 from Brewin Dolphin. The tip I wanted to share is investment diversification. Many of the statistics born out of the Wealthy Her report suggest that women are more risk-averse than men. One fundamental way to reduce your financial risk is to diversify. In investment terms, this means spreading your exposure to different asset classes, or essentially, the old adage of not having all your eggs in one basket. Most individuals who have begun to accumulate wealth will primarily have exposure initially to cash and to property by virtue of their main residence or perhaps rental properties. At 1762, we run multi-asset portfolios for our clients. So this includes investments in not only the traditional asset classes of bonds and equities, but also alternative investments such as infrastructure or gold. We also ensure our portfolios are diversified both geographically and by sector. This is important as global economic conditions can vary, as can currency exchange rates. By diversifying geographically, we can give clients exposure to mature economies such as the US and UK, alongside emerging markets with different demographics and growth profiles. Ensuring sector diversification within a portfolio means mitigating the impact of a downturn in one particular industry. For example, holding growth-focused tech companies alongside some defensive healthcare or consumer businesses. The benefit of a diversified investment portfolio should be smoother, more consistent returns over a medium to long-term time horizon. I think this is important to all investors looking to accumulate, grow, and protect their wealth.
I really hope you all enjoyed our podcast today. If you haven't already, please sign up to our podcast newsletter at thefixpodcast.org. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you guys again next week.
This show is produced by Human Group Media, an award-winning social good podcast company. Human Group Media works with thought leaders, brands, and organizations to inspire social change through the power of audio storytelling.